All right, brothers, welcome to the third and final session for our second night of meetings. Our presenter for our third session is Brother Nicholas Rankin. Allow me to introduce Brother Rankin. Nick has been a symphonian for over 10 years, a graduate of Belmont. He has performed live music in Nashville since 2014 and has been a church music director since 2016. The title of his talk is Music, Mystery, and Mankind. Brothers, please help me to welcome Brother Nicholas Rankin.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. It's been kind of windy around here, so if I end up getting disconnected from you because my power will sometimes cut out on a sunny day, so bear with me. Mills Music Missions, right? Music, Mystery, and Mankind is kind of the whole... It's our basic philanthropy, right, which we all know. This presentation is not necessarily supposed to be an exhaustive look at everything, but it is kind of just to help us remember some of the important aspects of the MMM, particularly in our current COVID and post-COVID world. Because I'm sharing my screen, if you happen to have any questions, please just shout them at me because I can't see any hands being raised or any chat bubbles.
Brother Rankin, as the host of the meeting, I will gladly communicate anything that comes through the chat directly to you. I will just ask that on the occasion you pause and ask if there are any questions or comments.
Beautiful. Thank you, Brother Dave. Cool. So let's get started. So, what is the MMM really? When I first kind of thought about this, I thought a lot about kind of what many of us learned in, in our probationary periods. We bring music to places where it doesn't necessarily, where it's not found easily. And I thought, okay, that's fine. That's a fine answer, but that doesn't actually explain what it is. And my chapter, unfortunately, was not the best to explain. So a very fast historical tour. As we know, it started with the Flower Missions, and it involved a whole lot of organizations in Boston. What I thought was interesting that no one ever told me was that it predated Sinfonia by a decade. Osh and Everett Mills was starting this in like 1881, which is kind of nuts to me. Like that was when it first became like a thing, and he was doing it by himself even before that. So that's so cool to me to think that was in his mind even before Sinfonia was. He was trying to bring music, and enrichment to people that needed it. And they involved a lot of sacrifice of self-ego and comfort because he did them primarily on Christmas and Easter. So on the days where we as people want to spend time with our families the most, he was going out to people that might not have had any family at all and trying to lift their spirits, which I think is just, again, so cool and speaks to his character. The entertainment included musical performances, poetry and drama readings, board games. They would bring people flowers, as we know, hence the term Flower Missions. And often it was kind of the first encounter with beauty that the patients had received in days or weeks. And I think that's kind of an important thing to stick a pin on for later, is that it was one of the first experiences with beauty that these people had seen, because we as musicians tend to elevate other people through the pursuit of truth, beauty, and goodness. We're probably familiar with this quote from Percy Jewett Burrell, man must seek to love men as brothers in art, not for the sake of art itself, but art as a means toward bringing all men up to that verdant plateau where their souls may be fed in the very rejoicing of all that is true, beautiful, and abiding. So in reflecting in all of this, and remembering that quote, I was like, that's pretty perfect. You don't get a more perfect summation than that. With that in mind, it kind of made me think of, our art is music. And then that made me think of a really kind of silly way of asking this question. What is music? take a second. If anyone has a fun answer for this, please, I want to hear it, because I have a dictionary definition and I have a personal definition. I want to see what anyone else has. So I'll give you about 30 seconds to come up with that.
We have a contribution from Brother Phillips, who says organized noise pointed in a general direction.
As a brass player, I don't disagree with you.
I heard a quotation that I particularly enjoyed once. Art decorates space, music decorates time.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, I got to remember that. In fact, I'm just going to type that in my little presentation notes right here. Art decorates space, music decorates time. That's a good one. Thank you for whoever taught you that one, because I'm stealing it.
Facebook was the official teacher of that one.
Facebook, you wise old wizard, you. Anyway, so what is music? As someone said, more or less, it's the science or art of ordering tones or sounds in succession, combination, and in temporal relationships to produce a composition having unity or continuity. I kind of like the definition of euphony more, which is an agreeable sound. Again, I'm a brass player, so maybe euphony doesn't cover me, but you know, here we are. More importantly, though, the quote that I found to be the most engaging, I think, in terms of music, was the quote by Plato, and you know, we all have heard this one before. Music gives a soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to imagination, and life to everything. The italicization is mine. Because I think that's overall a very important delineation that music has in the arts from all of Western thought. Plato wasn't the first one to think this way. He certainly wasn't the last. But so then, kind of going down this same kind of Socratic track, one of the things I kind of thought about was, well, you know, we work with music, which is a mysterious force. You know, we've heard often about how, you know, it's compared to electricity. One of the founding fathers mentions it in one of his letters, saying, you know, because at that time they weren't fully sure of how the science of electricity works. So how does the, you know, the beauty of music work? Well, it's a mystery. And I thought, what is a mystery? And again, I'll give you about 30 seconds to come up with an answer that you think is appropriate.
Nick, I wanted to give you two more contributions from the chat regarding what is music. Brother Courtright says, I used to hear organized by an intelligent listener. And Patrick says airwaves in varying times and styles.
All this makes me think of John Cage. And I thought about giving you a demonstration of music by playing you 4 minutes and 33 seconds, but I figured best not. It's late for most of you by now.
Undoubtedly. Nix says that the quote from Plato that he was thinking of was, the good man is the only excellent musician because he gives forth a perfect harmony, not with a lyre or other instrument, but with the whole of his life. Quotation by Plato.
Yeah.
He also contributes, mystery is the question without the answer.
Ooh, someone's getting to the philosophical points now. I like this.
Well, you did mention Socratic, and he just did hold up a beverage of sorts. So the philosophical time of the night is nigh.
9 p.m. Yes, it is. Eastern time. For those of us in the central time, we got 47 minutes to go. Anyway, so mystery. When I looked at some definitions for this, being a quasi-theologian, I tried to find like an actual religious definition. Not necessarily a good one, but Webster would argue that mystery is something that is not understood or is beyond understanding, or a secret or specialized practices or ritual peculiar to an occupation or a body of people. That's us. We've talked about some of that before tonight, so we don't need to hack it too much. But one of the things that I do find to be interesting when you look at the definition of mystery and how it's evolved over time. In the early days, in the ancient Greco-Roman period, mystery meant mystical rather than actually like mystery. And so it came from all this contemplation of the divine nature of things, which I thought was kind of a neat little tidbit. This is a quote that I like, that I thought was really interesting. Mystery creates wonder, and wonder is the basis of man's desire to understand. And I think, you know, when we talk about understanding things, we talk about the pursuit of the truth. And so far we've got beauty and truth as kind of our first two linchpins in the threefold, kind of the triangular shape, if you will, of Sinfonia's mission, and kind of what I think should be done with a Mills music mission. So what is our role? And our role, you know, we talk about this too, is to be the solution or resolution to discord, bring some melody and harmony. But more importantly, I think our job is to bridge the gap between music, mystery, and mankind. As Sinfonians, we have the quite literally awesome responsibility of being privy to ancient thought on the nature of music and how it pertains to life in general, not just us in college or post-college, but overall the entire life cycle of humanity, which I think is absolutely fascinating to contemplate at around this time of night with beverages in hand. And so that makes me also kind of wonder a little bit on mankind and kind of the definition, not necessarily the definition of mankind, but also just how do we apply mankind in this kind of trifecta of music, mystery, and mankind. What does mankind mean? And this is kind of the actual meat and potatoes of things. And so the three questions that I started asking was, where do we go for an MMM? Who's the target? How do we expand it? And how do we make them more engaging for chapter and audience alike? So first kind of thing, here's a question for you guys. When you learned about MMMs, how were you told or taught, I guess I should ask, to determine the best place for an MMM?
I remember being told that old folks' homes and children's hospitals were the two best locales.
Okay, good answers. Anyone else?
Brother Phillips said, I was just told that nursing homes were the easiest.
Okay. Do I got one more?
Brother Carroll says, same. And high schools, as far as recruiting seniors was concerned.
Okay. That's an interesting one. I haven't heard of that one yet. So that's some good ones.
Patrick says, I agree with Brother Friday, places of deeper need.
Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. And so from right there, what I think is kind of interesting is out of those four responses, we got three that kind of fall into the category of convenience, right? And we have one that falls into the category of need, for lack of a better term, right? Of course, it's you know, it's naturally easy for us to go to places like nursing homes, children's hospitals, et cetera, and there's nothing wrong with that because those are places where music is often not found, right? For one reason or another, you know, it's one of the things that scares me as being 29 years old and mostly still invincible, is that it's kind of the foreknowledge that there will very likely be a point in my life where I might be in one of those places, and those places are often forgotten by our modern society. And that's very unfortunate because there's a lot of suffering there, right? But the answer, whoever the third person was, mentioned, you know, places where it's needed. And I think that where we can lift the spirits of those in need is another good kind of barometer. And it was the third national president, whose name escapes me off the top of my head, who actually suggested that specifically it was to lift the spirits of those in need. So when you look at that breakdown, we kind of think of the more usual, you know, hostels, nursing homes, senior centers, less usual. We might think of different types of shelters, so like battered women shelters, homeless shelters. You can think of prisons, or different types of asylums, which is kind of always a challenge because you don't know what you're going to find there. And halfway houses. And there are also different halfway houses. Nashville, where I am, we have about three or four different ones. The one that's closest to my heart is one called Dismas House, which is for people who are getting released from prison, particularly for larceny. So that's kind of an interesting place. The men there are free of prison, so they have some hope, but they don't have a lot of high spirits. So that's kind of a place that is particularly special to me. But the next question that I began to ask in the whole question of who should we be kind of, for lack of a better term, marketing a Mills Music mission to, and as an alumnus now, this question I think has been a bit more pressing to me because it showed how wide ranging or how short ranging we can be at our choice, unfortunately. And so whenever I was kind of reading up on some of the history of Osher Everett Mills' flower missions, he talked about how he got churches involved. He got florists involved. He got people from local performance groups involved. He had half of the town of Boston coming to him saying, I want to help you do this thing, because that's kind of a cool thing. And so I thought to myself, man, why don't we actually think about that more? Why don't we get more organizations involved? And my chapter in particular was guilty of doing it on our own. And there's nothing wrong with doing it on your own, but you have a much easier time, I think, of it, honestly, if you can get other people involved, because it reduces your chapter's overall workload, you know, and you're not only ministering to your direct audience, you know, the people who have been perhaps forgotten or thrown away by society, but also people that are helping you come to hear, and it touches their souls too, which I kind of thought was a beautiful thing. And so I kind of followed the same list that Osher Everett Mills does, churches, flower shops. Other Greek organizations is kind of a slightly expanded one. And I said this because primarily, especially when we talk about benevolence earlier with the other Nick. I see you, bro. When we talk about benevolence and how we can work with other organizations, particularly as Sinfonians, we have the challenge or the privilege, I guess, of being associated with musical things. So anything that happens at Belmont's campus that involves music now, if any other Greek organization does it, they tend to call us and say, hey, can you help us with this? And we say, yes, let's raise money for St. Jude. Let's raise money to help get water in Africa. Anything that your group does that you need help with, if it's musically inclined, we will do it. We're here for you. And it's been kind of cool because we've gotten some of that to go the other way too. So we've gotten sororities to come caroling with us before, you know, to help spread cheer out into the world as an example. So lots of different options. And so then kind of the next big question, I think, in terms of how we increase the scope of the MMM boils down to four important words. Will you marry me? I know, I'm getting some raised eyebrows. Thank God it worked. The real question is, how do we make it more engaging, right? You think of getting married, you think of getting engaged. It's a poor joke, I'm sorry. This is where you boo me off the stage. Yes, exactly, face palms. Anyway, so engagement, right? Good tunes, healthy variety of music or activities, playing to your strengths, and to be good or even great, but don't worry about being perfect, right? To kind of break these things down for you a little bit, which most of these things should not be hard for us as adults to think of, right? Good tunes are tunes that your chapter sounds good performing, or your alumni association, if you're like me and you're an old fogey now, and you are reasonably sure that an audience will enjoy them, because remember, music generally should be pleasing. I like to include new music that people haven't heard of. And I say this because even though I think there's often a stereotype of people only wanting music from a particular time period, I think that the hunger for new and good music never actually goes away, ever. I think even when you're 88 years old and it's a brand new piece of music that does all these different things that might not have been in vogue when you were in school or singing in churches or whatever, that if it's good, it'll still touch you. And so we should respect people's general intelligence for that sort of thing. Healthy variety of music and activities. Like I said before, Osh Everett Mills had dramatic readings. He had board games. You can always do hot chocolate and conversation if it's, you know, a festive time of year. Think outside the box is what I tell people. Or even just play bingo if you're at a place that has bingo shortly after you're there. And if you have not seen people get competitive at bingo, you have not gone to the right places. I have seen fist fights, which is hilarious, over bingo. But anyway, if you are fortunate enough to have a chapter that is full of socialites, then broadly speaking, people facing activities will probably be easier for you to do and to help people feel that connection with your chapter and with the music as a, you know, as an intangible object, right? If your chapter is full of shy people, which is more of my chapter was, finding more subtle ways of communicating, spending time with people, again, board games, bingo, anything where you are not necessarily having to be directly staring at someone's face is probably the better way to go, and people will enjoy it. And finally, the last point is because I argue that perfection is a great idea, but being the group that stands there and sings or plays or whatever with little crowd interaction does not differentiate you from those other people, and doesn't help your audience stay engaged, because a lot of times, you know, a group that comes in and just like, they have 30 minutes of music, they open their books or their folders, they run it down, they say, cool, thanks, see you later, and they turn to leave. I mean, cool, yeah, you sang for us, but that's not the point. The point is that we're using music to help create a human connection, because that's the most important thing. That's the most beautiful part of music, more than, I think, your art being executed to the nth degree, right? Osh and Everett Mills talked about, or rather it was a clipping from a newspaper, I should say, that mentioned that some of the people that his Mills Music Mission people were talking to or visiting in the hospital, and they brought flowers to them. The flowers were the first kind gesture, the first like kind of offering of beauty that these people had received in days, weeks, or even months in the worst possible cases. And that's what we're trying to do with the MMM, is to bring the beauty and the gift of self to these people. And so then the next question, of course, is why? Why do we do these things? And we've talked about how much, you know, it benefits the audiences. It benefits us as performers because it helps us, you know, make that connection with people too, which helps us grow as musicians and people. And if you get more and more people involved, then more and more people also, they also get kind of the satisfaction of a good deed well done, and they grow in those kind of universal values of sacrifice and zeal and truth. In a more pragmatic sense, it provides the Sinfonians with, you know, new connections, which when you nurture them over time, they become fruitful in, from, you know, both the societal standpoint of, hey, you now know this new group of people, but also it's just basic practicalities. Like, you get a flower shop in on helping you, and so now your chapter knows where they can go to get their significant other's pretty flowers for formals or whatever, right? Which people like repeat customers. So that's, again, that's a pragmatic thing. That's less high ideals, but it still kind of deserves, I think, to be said. As a social outlet, it helps us grow in regards to connecting with an older generation, which I think sometimes we can unfairly glorify or vilify, right? We can, as many of you probably are familiar with, the okay boomer sort of mentality that goes around the rise, at least on the internet, maybe amongst your personal lives too. But I think whenever we get to those types of points where we look at an entire generation, we can kind of forget the actual individuals that are part of that generation. And then we broadly classify people instead of treating them as people, to be honored for just the simple fact of being human rather than anything else. Finally, as I mentioned earlier, it humbles us with the gentle reminder that we too might be someday in a similar situation. And therefore, we should try and make a culture of bettering those situations and conditions as much as possible, given our means. Our means, primarily as by Malfa Sinfonia, is through music. So that's I think, another humbling thing to keep in mind. Do you have any questions so far?
A lot of comments, and most of the comments that have been put into the chat are things that you've touched on at one point or another. Jonathan's most recent comment says, I know as a musician, a brass player, playing in front of groups for the Mills Music Missions not only gave me an appreciation for the listeners performing, but also for the music itself. Getting to use it for such a deep cause, as well as singing songs out of the Red Book. When you sing those with brothers, you admire and appreciate for people who enjoy the experience of listening. It elevates the wonder or mystery of the music.
Truer words have not been spoken. I just love hearing stuff like that. Personally, it sounds corny, but it is what it is. Now kind of the next question for me is always the when. When is a good time to do a Mills Music Mission? How do we line the people up? And I would argue that the best time is right now. It's 9:30 for some of you, so maybe not actually right now, but tomorrow would be a great time. Not that you could organize it that fast. And I say that way primarily because music is timeless, right? We're fortunate that we work with an impermanent medium, that it can be used at any point that we want, and we can create it and uncreate it as we please, more or less. And I think the other thing that's kind of key with this whole, like, right now, the meaning of right now might change because of how COVID is, right? We're dealing with, you know, Omicron or whatever now. And so that changes how different places will let in guests or visitors. But there are always ways to kind of think outside the box and bring music to these places. So if you're a string player, if you're a percussionist, whatever, like, heck, man, bring boom whackers and teach people how to play songs on boom whackers. Boom whackers are awesome. you know, and if you're enthusiastic about it, people will pick up on it. In terms of chapter population dispersal, I mentioned holiday gatherings because that's what Ashen did. He had them go primarily on Christmas and Easter. And that's not always possible, obviously, if you live in a, if you're part of a metropolitan chapter where people come from all corners of the country, like Belmont kind of was, you can't really do that super easily. And that's just the unfortunate name of the game. If you're from a more local university, maybe you can figure out something closer to the holidays with whoever stays in town, which is honestly kind of better in certain regards. If you're, additionally, is kind of the manpower question, right? Manpower, music power, money power, same sort of thing. In terms of manpower, if you have like 40 people in your chapter, you probably don't need every single person there, but you still want most of them there. If you can't get all of them there for just because of how your school semester lines up, then see if another chapter nearby can come and help you and do it together. And when I say set time early in the semester, I mean like second business meeting of your chapter. If you're an alumni association, well, that one I'll let an alumni association answer that question better than me. But you want to set up early and quickly. If you're an executive council member of your chapter, you probably know your general semester schedule by the end of the summer and have some feasible dates already. Lay the groundwork, man. Get it going, especially then if you can start contacting other people that might be able to help you and make your chapter's workload honestly a little bit easier. In terms of other practicalities, if you don't have an MMM committee, make it. It should be so easy, right? But we don't think about that sort of stuff. Your music director should have an idea of your musical skills and help that committee plan stuff accordingly. And when you have other groups, invite them to rehearse with you at like your own business meeting or go to theirs, because music rehearsals aren't secret, right? We forget that, I think, a lot of times, especially since we do so much secret music in our chapter meetings, but you definitely don't have to. You can use that time elsewhere. So don't be afraid to do that. And another thing you can always do if you can't have your, hello pup. That was my dog Ewok. She says hi. So if you can't set up like a time in either your business meeting or in your compatriots' business meetings, pick an optional or pick a weekend time and then do some fellowship afterwards so that you can kind of get into it with each other. That'll be a good way to build community around your chapter as you try and build the community around your greater community at large. Last, I have a fast story kind of about this, not strictly about an MMM, but just on a similar concept. At my church, I have a vocal quartet that is very good. And so we were asked to perform at a local retirement center, and we had very little time to prepare. We had like 3 days to prepare. But we had recently done a Lessons Carols program, so between that and the quick thinking of my quartet members, we kind of figured out about a 45-minute program, which a 45-minute program is very feasible for even a collegiate chapter, right? A key thing for us was that we knew a little bit historic background for the different songs that we were doing, and we were doing primarily, Lessons and Carols sorts of music. It's Christmas time, and so people liked learning about the Basque region of Spain or, French carols from the 15th century or whatever. Anything like that was super cool and people kind of ate it up. There was also an arrangement that was missing an entire page that when we got to the page turn and we didn't have it, we all dead stopped. It was hilarious, also kind of embarrassing, but mostly hilarious. And what was kind of funny about that was that we thought about it. We said, okay, well, here's what we'll do. And that was, for many of the people in attendance, that was actually their favorite song because there was that human element, right? It wasn't perfect. It was just us kind of having fun and being able to be silly with it. Best comment though that we got, or at least that I got, was one woman saying that I remind her of her husband who had passed her about 20 years ago. And she said that just how I moved and talked to people, reminded her so much of him, and she'd forgotten all these different things about him. And that's something that I will always personally treasure, because it reminded me of the power of music and what it can actually kind of bring forth out of us emotionally. And it reminded me of my vocation, my vocational call, that is to say, as a symphonian, which is to bring music to all these places that don't get it, and to bring it to people that might not have gotten it in a particular way they need. And music is a need, honestly. So this kind of is where I'll turn over any questions that anyone might have. If you want me to spitball some ideas for you, I'm used to giving this sort of talk at a chapter level, so it's usually short, as opposed to a full hour. So if you have any questions, please, I want to hear them. I want to try and answer them or brainstorm with you.
Absolutely. I'm taking a look at the chat right now. And if anybody has any questions and wants to use the chat, or feel free to unmute your microphones as well.
I have a question. Just wanted to ask if any of the chapters participate in serenades. So like Zaida, we do serenades on Valentine's Day. I didn't know if any of the chapters participate in those or not.
I know that Beta Tau down in Miami, Florida is super awesome at it. And I love seeing those videos come around every year. I know that Mu Eta up at UCF has kind of dipped their toes in it recently, which is kind of cool. But I'm going to give it to Beta Tau still.
I know that Omicron Rho did that a couple of years ago. More than a couple of years ago now. I'm showing my age a little bit, but when I was an undergrad, we did it at least a couple of times. So it to my knowledge, it still happens at least about every other year, but that could be outdated by this point. Let's see. Key Lime Pie is also a very good suggestion. Other Nick, I'm proud of that. Someone else said, but the Boy Scout troops, also a good idea, especially because Boy Scout troops, if depending upon how large they are. I know the one at my church, they have a bugler. He need to be taught how to bugle, which I can help with, thankfully. But and while that's not fully an MMM, it is kind of part of our outreach, and again, speaking to Nick's presentation, part of our benevolent approach to music, I think, which is super, super important.
So I'm going to address a question that came in from the chat. Patrick posed the question, as somebody who's part of a chapter with fewer members and with it being mostly instrumentalists and aren't the best with vocals, what would you do in a situation similar? I have a couple of suggestions that you could do. One would be to, again, try to partner with another organization, perhaps one that is full of strong vocalists, maybe an a cappella group on campus, or if you can get in touch with one of your campus choirs and try to recruit a couple people from there to help coach the chapter. Another possibility is we have a chapter up here in Providence 2, the new Upsilon chapter, that was basically devoid of vocalists for a number of years. They put together the concept of doing an electric serenade, which was to take a guitarist, a bassist, and a drum kit, put them in the back of a pickup truck, and have them drive from sorority house to sorority house to attempt to melt their faces off with serenades.
Amazing.
It's something that they still do to this day. They call it electric serenades, and it's become kind of a chapter staple for them.
If I can speak to the lack of vocalists, because I was in that situation, we had one guy who is a vocalist in our PM class, and he was really the only one. And then everyone else in the chapter was an instrumentalist of some variety. This one vocalist is now currently a touring opera performer, so it worked out for him. But for that sort of thing, men's choruses, I will say this, men's choruses are lucky in that if you throw a group of guys together and they can sing relatively in tune, not necessarily being a a like pretty vocalist, but just being able to sing in tune, it usually sounds pretty awesome. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just look up videos of, you can find like tavern songs from the UK, like from like rural UK where they still do this, or in Germany. It sounds so cool. And it's just a bunch of guys that don't really know how to sing. And it still sounds great. Doesn't work with women's choruses as well as, unfortunately, don't know why, but men's choruses, even when they're not fully trained, sound awesome. But to play at your strengths, I think you can find all sorts of neat arrangements for whatever group of instrumentalists that you have. You can make your own arrangements if there's someone in your chapter who's particularly good at it, or you can sincerely do, if you feel like you can handle this, what's kind of fun to do is to do like kind of sing-along things and, you know, play hymn tunes or carols or whatever else, and trust that your audience will sing with you, because usually they will, especially if there's at least like one person from your chapter who can sing along with them. And there's always one. And if there isn't one, he just doesn't know it yet.
We'll get him to live up to his potential.
You will get him to live up to his potential. That's what you're supposed to do in Sinfonia. You're supposed to make people live up to their potential. But again, think, and like I said before, it's less about necessarily even singing as much as it's just bring the music, you know, just have a funny anecdote about whatever music you're performing. If you can find a funny anecdote or have one, and do it. There's a brass quintet piece I like that's about English pubs, and I can tell you the stories of all of them, and that's great. People like that. So, yes.
I'm going to turn it over to Brother Taylor for just a moment. He has his hand raised.
Yeah.
Thank you. So the things that, everything you mentioned in terms of logistics and ideas to keep in mind to prepare, were fantastic. And one of them, that I would add to that list is, you talked about the importance of making those connections when you go somewhere, not just singing and walking away, but taking time to meet the individuals and share stories with them, you know, even if it's just for a few minutes. One of the things that I'll point out, that's actually one of the things that I have found a lot of young Sinfonians are kind of scared of, because they don't know what they're going to encounter. They're afraid of what that encounter might look like. Apart from that, it's just a skill, the ability to walk up to a stranger and have a conversation. So it's worth considering that when you're preparing for your Mills Music Missions, talking about how to handle that. What can you talk about, right? So for someone who's not great at small talk, like what should be the first words out of your mouth? You know, how do you make that situation comfortable for everyone involved? It's just an additional preparation point that I think can go a long ways to easing the mind of some brothers, making them maybe a little less hesitant to even become involved in the activity for the first time, something like that.
That's a really good point. I've never thought about that. As someone who's a bit more, who can kind of turn on a little bit more myself, I've never thought about that. So I'm just going to add that to my presentation right about now.
I strongly agree with that. And this actually goes back to the point that we were making with Patrick just a moment ago. Even if your chapter is not full of strong vocalists, the quality of the music matters considerably less than the quality of the connections that you make after the fact. However long your program is for the Mills Music Mission, you should account for approximately the same amount of time to go interact with the guests, patients, whoever it is that's there, so that you can go around and actually get to know them and talk about the music that you just performed and you know, speak with these people about their lives. And, you know, the more you talk about them, it's universal. Everybody wants to talk about themselves. If you can get them talking about themselves and their own experience and their lives, they will absolutely love it. They will love that connection. Brother Courtright.
Hey, thanks for the good presentation so far. One of the things that I've noticed in the Mills Music Missions that I've done is it really helps not to come in cold. It helps to know the facility you're going into, whatever it is, and the space that you're going into, what it sounds like, what the possibilities are. If you're going into a residential home, are they able to all congregate in one central area, or are you going to be walking up and down hallways? And then to plan your performance and your interaction based on that, because if they're all in one central congregated area, you can basically put on a concert. But if you're walking up and down hallways, maybe you don't want to have 20 people with a 45-minute program.
Yeah.
So I'd really highly recommend that somebody scope out the site first and understand who's there, what's going on, and what it's all about.
Brother Rankin, you had mentioned a Mills Music Mission committee. I think that a really good goal for the committee chair would be to be the person who's scoping out the yes. facility. See if you can get them invited to the facility to actually walk around and see what things are like there. Talk with the employees there, see if there is physical space, like Brother Courtright had mentioned, for everybody to congregate and make decisions based off of that.
It's true. And I attribute that, you know, that's part of, like, that should be considered like just part of your basic groundwork. My chapter was unfortunately fortunate, if you will, that a lot of times our music mission was at the retirement center that was just off of Belmont's campus. And it, for us, it worked out that way because it was unfortunately the easy option, right? It wasn't the actual option that required a lot of sacrifice. And it worked out that way primarily because so many of us were involved with so many different ensembles that to get our schedules to coalesce to go anywhere beyond what was essentially a 5-minute walk was, we argued, was not quite right. And in hindsight, we should have just found somewhere that needed a little bit more, I think. But over time, we got to know that facility very well, just because we'd all been there so many times. So for us, we didn't have to think about the groundwork of it so much, or the layout of it, as much as just going and doing. So, absolutely should be a requirement that for your committee, someone goes there and even draws a map for you to follow. So that way you don't get lost trying to find your performance space. Anyone else?
All right. Any other questions or talking points to bring up? Well, we can certainly continue the conversation, but I want to say thank you to Brother Rankin for this great presentation on the Mills Music Mission tonight.
Thanks, man.
Brings back a lot of memories about how Mills Music Missions have impacted my life and undoubtedly the lives of the people that we've been performing to. So yes, thank you very much for volunteering your time tonight.
It's a pleasure.
I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording.